Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
Well, good morning, church family. It's great to be together today, and I've definitely been excited this week for this chance to gather today and to see what the Lord has for us. So I hope as you sing those songs that you really let those words penetrate your heart to think about the offer and the invitation that God has for each of us. He wants us to experience this freedom. He wants us to be at a place in life where regardless of what we're going through, we are able to truly say, it is well with my soul. Now think about what life would be like if that was really the true reality of our day. So I hope that those invitations are ringing in your ears today, and we're going to get to look more about that here in a little bit. Well, some of us in this room are old enough to remember the really hard days of actually having to know how to get to the places you wanted to go to, right? Do you remember that? Like, you had to know directions just with your brain. You had to know what roads to take and where to turn and how far to go. For you younger people, it was a really hard time to be alive, okay? Because, I mean, you'd be out there and you were on your own. It's a big, wide world out there and there's a lot of roads. So I remember when I first got my license, my parents got me this really detailed map that showed every back road in the city of Indianapolis with the hope that if I ever just completely got lost, I'd have some idea of how to find my way. And I think that thing sat under my seat and didn't move for years because men are never lost. Am I right? We're just showing you something, but we are never lost. And so that thing was definitely not needed. But then the wonderful time of the internet came about, and there's these great websites that you could go to. MapQuest.com, that was my go-to. And you could put in your address and where you wanted to go, and this magical thing would happen. It would print you out exact directions on where to go. This was great. You no longer needed a map. You just had to be able to follow directions. But MapQuest did have its problems because when you make a turn, it would say, okay, 8.7 miles, turn right. So then you got to look at your odometer, reset it, because you can't do that kind of math in your head. Then you go because you got to find just that exact road. Then you turn and you got to reset it again and look for the next road. And sometimes, if you took a wrong turn, you are really in trouble. Or sometimes the road workers have the audacity to shut down the road you need to go on, and then MapQuest is completely worthless. Now you're back to square one. Well, then finally came the day of the magic boxes in our car. Am I right? The GPSs came along, and that was everybody's have to have for Christmas because this box will tell me exactly what to do. I don't even need MapQuest anymore. I don't have to do any hard math. I just have to sit and listen, and this wonderful British lady will tell me exactly where to turn. And what's even greater about GPS is that it can change based on your circumstances, right? So if you happen to take a wrong turn, it'll get you right back on track. If you happen to have a road closed, it'll get you around it. And then thankfully, for those of us who ever have to travel through Atlanta or something, the best part of GPS, it even tells you how to avoid the traffic, right? What a wonderful invention these things are. Now, if we think about godly wisdom in this study we've been doing in the book of Proverbs, in a lot of ways, godly wisdom functions as a GPS for our lives. Now, what makes godly wisdom so incredible is that it doesn't just tell us where we're going, it tells us the best way to get there. And no matter what speed bumps we come up in life, no matter what road closures happen in our life, no matter what circumstances we face, godly wisdom tells us the best way to navigate those things and still stay on track to get where we're trying to go. So God doesn't just leave us here to figure it out for ourselves, but he has told us clear directions on how we should live our lives. Now, just like the car, in order to be able to get from here to there, all I have to do is follow directions, right? Now, sometimes that's hard enough, and sometimes I'll admit, even though when I'm following the GPS, I'm like, I'm not supposed to turn there, and I keep driving. Now, I did this a few months ago coming back from Florida, and we got in the worst traffic jam I've ever been in because I would not listen to the GPS. You know, the same thing is true of godly wisdom. God can present very clear directions for our life, but it still comes down to this very difficult choice. Am I willing to actually follow his directions? You know, it's one thing to turn my car where it tells me to turn. It's a whole other thing to turn my life and to reorient my life based on what God tells me to do. That is hard. But God is offering us a path. God is offering us a way of getting to this really good place. And he says, I will be with you every step of the way through everything that you face, but will you follow my directions on how to get there? So today we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 3. If you want to open your Bible, you can. We'll have it on the screen as well. But we're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And what's really fun about this text is it gives us this picture of the abundant life. Now, the first couple chapters of Proverbs, if you've been with us throughout this study, some of it's been pretty bleak, right? Because the first couple chapters have really focused on this is the destruction that comes for those who don't listen to God. And that's not very motivating. It's actually pretty scary and pretty alarming. But Proverbs chapter 3, we start to make this transition to saying this isn't just the scary thing for those who reject God, but this is the beauty and the goodness that's available for those who listen, for those who follow God's direction. And so these verses are going to give us a snapshot of what this abundant life looks like. And then God's going to give us four directions that we have to follow in order to stay on this path. So I invite you, if you can, and you're willing and you're able, to please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. We don't want to make light of the reading of God's Word. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Father, I ask that as we come to your scripture this morning, I ask, God, that you would help it to make sense in our lives. Father, I pray that we would see the beauty of the invitation that you are offering us to the abundant life. That God, as our Father, you want every one of your children not to just look forward to this future eternal day that we are with you, but God, you want us to experience heaven on earth, and you want us to experience the abundant life here and now. Father, I know there are some in this room who that thought just seems so impossible given the circumstances that they face. Father, I pray that you would speak to their hearts today. Help this become very real in our lives. Help this be something that we so desire, Father, that we are willing to turn and to change our lives based on the directions that you have given us. In your name we pray. Amen. So these eight verses have a really interesting structure to them. Every odd verse gives us a direction to follow, and every even verse gives us this little snapshot of what the abundant life looks like. So if you really like just the very clear outlines, this is a text for you. We have four clear directions, and we have four snapshots of what this abundant life really looks like. So I want to start out by just letting you see and hear all of these snapshots of abundance put together. So all of our even verses, 2, 4, 6, and 8, listen to these snapshots that God is offering that could be true of your life. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. He will direct your paths, and it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Now, if you just stop and think about your week, you think about the things that you are going through, I think we would all agree we would love a little bit more of that mixed into our day. We would love if our lives were a little bit more of these snapshots that God is using to explain abundance. Because the reality is, a lot of us, we don't feel this way very often. We don't feel strengthened and nourished. We don't feel peace. We don't feel like we're very esteemed by other people, and certainly not before God. And sometimes we don't feel like God is directing us at all. But this is the life that he is saying is available to every one of his children. So we're going to come back and look at these a little bit more in depth as we go through the passage. But I wanted you just to feel and hear all of this put together as we begin. So now we're going to look at the four directions God is going to give us if we want this to be true of our lives. So direction number one, guard your heart. So in verse one, we see this. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. This proverb starts out with a plea of a father for his son. This isn't a command of harshness. This is a father who's saying, please listen to what I'm offering you. I want you to hear this. I want you to experience this. I want this to be true for you because this will bring you abundance. My son, do not forget my law. Now, when we think of the word law, sometimes our mind goes straight to the Ten Commandments, but this is really a lot more broad than that. The father is pleading with the son, saying, don't forget all of the goodness that we know to be true of God. Don't forget who God is. Don't forget how God wants to direct your life. Don't forget that God's way is a way that is worth following. That is the desire of this father. He wants this for his son. Now, when we read the word heart, especially around Valentine's Day, right, we get one idea in our mind. We think of heart, we think of the emotions, the feel-goods, the happies, right? We think of all of just the joy, and we think of how we feel. Well, the word heart was used very differently in the Bible. When the Bible uses the word heart, it's much more than just how we feel about something. It's really talking about all of our inner being and all that's made up of that. So that's talking about things like our will or our desires. It's talking a lot about our mind and the way that we think. And so here in this one word, we have this really broad understanding of this father saying, my son, don't forget God's law, but instead let your entire inner being, your heart, your mind, your emotions, your desires, your thought life, let all of it be changed by God's desires. This is a very broad picture. This is not just a father who's saying to his son, will you please just do the right stuff externally? Will you please not be stupid and not do dumb things with your life? Will you please make the right decisions? He's really saying, no, I want my son to be changed from the inside out. I want my son and my daughter, I want them to be these new people who so desire the things of the Lord that directs every decision that they make. God in the Old Testament was speaking through the prophet Ezekiel, and he was looking forward to this future day. And listen to how he speaks to us through Ezekiel. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. So God the Father was looking forward to this future day when his people would no longer have this hard heart, this heart that doesn't want anything to do with him, this heart that doesn't want to desire the things of God. He's looking forward to this day when his people will have this tender heart, this soft heart, this open heart that's willing to receive whatever God has for them. And of course, as he's talking about this, he's looking forward to that day when his son would come to earth. Jesus Christ has made this possible. It's only through the life and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus that God is able to remove these hard hearts from us and to make us new creations who have this new heart within us. You see, when a person chooses to place their faith in Christ as their only means of hope, as their only way to have a right relationship with God, they're not relying on themselves, but they're fully relying on Christ. The Bible says at that moment they are a new creation. And God has given them a new heart that now can have new desires that actually want the things of God. And so when we go back and we look at this direction from Proverbs, we see this is what the father is pleading for his son to experience. This word keep is a really important word. It's really like a militant term. It's the idea of a soldier who's been tasked with guarding something, and that soldier is willing to give their lives in order to fulfill their mission. That's a strong word. And so the father is saying to the son here, don't forget my law. Don't neglect my law or reject it. But let all that you are, give everything that you have to keeping my word. This is a fight. This is a struggle. This is something that God is telling us to take very seriously. Now, what does it mean to guard our hearts? Primarily, it means that we think the thoughts that we have, we are very careful about. We choose our thoughts carefully. You know, when you have those thoughts come into your mind, you can't always control what pops into your head, but you can absolutely control what you do with that thought. We have the choice to dwell on things that are not of God, and ultimately they're going to change our desires to selfish desires, and ultimately then we're going to make decisions that are foolish and destructive. Or we have the choice to fight and to guard our hearts. And when those thoughts come into our minds, we reject those thoughts. We choose to focus and to think on what is good and holy and pure and true and right. You know what happens when we do that? When we fight to have pure thoughts, all of a sudden our desires start to change. Our desires start to be for the things of the Lord. And when our desires are changed, we live lives that demonstrate the wisdom of God. So the first direction we have is we have to guard our hearts. This is not an easy thing, but if we want to experience God's abundance, this is a required direction. Now look at verse 2 and the outcome of the one who does that. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Now we read a verse like this, it's really important that we remember that Proverbs are speaking of things that are generally true. Proverbs are not promises that we have. This is not a promise that if you choose to guard your heart, you're going to have a long life. Because we know people who live well and they die young. This is a generally true statement. Those who choose to live wisely generally are going to have a longer life. Because those who are foolish and make destructive decisions can make foolish decisions that ultimately cost them their lives. But you know what's so much more being offered here? It's not just a long life, because sometimes if we think about it, our circumstances may be so hard that a long life is not even what we want. But here, God is offering us something about that long life. He says, not only am I going to offer you a long and full life, but peace will be added to you. Shalom. This idea of ease, rest, satisfaction, delight. That's what he wants to be true of our days. When we guard our hearts and we fight to have pure thoughts, like the songs that we sang today, it doesn't matter what we go through, I can choose trust over anxiety. I can choose to trust God in whatever I'm facing. I don't have to fear. I don't have to live with worry. I can have peace in whatever I'm going through. That is what God is offering in this direction. Well, direction number two. He wants us to reflect God's character. So look at what the Father says to the Son in this. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. See, the Father's desire is that his Son would wear or show off mercy and truth with his life. This word, binding them around your neck, it's really like a necklace. It's like jewelry, right? When you wear a jewelry, somebody notices it. They see that. The Father's desire is that his Son would live life in such a way that mercy and truth are being shown off and demonstrated to those around them. Now, a lot of translations, they translate these words very differently. So your version may say something different than mercy and truth. And the way we translate that can kind of make us miss a really important connection. I want to show you this connection. Back in Exodus chapter 34, God is meeting with Moses. And there's this interaction that happens where God passes by Moses. And I want you to hear how God communicates who he is to Moses. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. This is how God describes himself. Now, these last two terms, steadfast love and faithfulness, are the same words used in Proverbs 3. So as the Father is pleading with his Son, he's saying, my Son, I want you to show off and to demonstrate the very heart and character of God in the way that you live. Just as God is full of steadfast love and faithfulness, I want you to be full of steadfast love and faithfulness to the world. So this direction is he wants us to reflect God's character in all that we are and all that we do. I want to ask you, would steadfast love and faithfulness be terms that people associate with you? When they think of you, do they think of a person who is just bubbling or showing off or constantly demonstrating the steadfast love and faithfulness of God? Think back to some meaningful interactions that you had this week. Think back to some conversations that you had with some friend or a spouse or something this week. When you think back to those important conversations, you may not remember the exact details of what was said, but you probably can remember how you felt. You probably can remember how when you left that interaction, you probably had a very good understanding of, did they demonstrate steadfast love and faithfulness to me, or did they really demonstrate something different? Well, the same is true of the interactions that we have with other people. The interactions that you had this week, would people say, when I left that, I just felt the steadfast love and faithfulness of God? Or did they feel something different? This verse says, do not let steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. The word forsake means to get loose or to escape. When I was a kid, my first dog was named Snickers. And I had wanted a dog for so long, and finally my parents allowed me to get this dog. And Snickers, he was a special animal, okay? He was a mutt. And he was so full of energy, he was wild. He was one of those dogs that when it's thundering and lightning, he'd stand out there and he'd bark at the lightning, right? Had a lot going on up top. Snickers was so full of energy. And the poor guy, he was in this pen, right? We built him a fenced-in area because we lived on a really busy road. He couldn't just run. He was in this fence. Well, as a little guy, I just loved to hang out with my dog. So I'd go out there, and I would go up to that cage to get in there. And as soon as he'd see me coming, he'd perk up, and he'd run right to that gate. Because the second I would crack that gate open, he was there. He was sticking his nose in there. He's trying to get his way out. So me as a little dude, I'm trying to sneak in. I'm using my leg, trying to push him away. But more often than not, when I'm trying to go in there, Snickers would get out. And just as fast as I took a blink, I would look up and he is gone. He is nowhere to be seen. And oftentimes he was gone for a long time. That's the idea of forsaking. It's this idea that it's like we live our lives. The Father is pleading with the Son, don't live your life in such a way that love and faithfulness are just dying to get away from you. Instead, bind them around your neck. Hold on to them. Don't let them get away. Write them on the tablet of your heart. You know what this verse teaches us, this idea? God is not telling us, go out into the world and figure out how to be a person of steadfast love and faithfulness. And when you find it, reel it in and don't let it go. No, instead he's saying, you, as a new creation in Christ, with a new heart, being full of the Holy Spirit, what is true of you is you are a person of steadfast love and faithfulness. The Spirit within you is trying to push this out of you so that all of our interactions with other people are defined by steadfast love and faithfulness. But instead of letting that happen in our lives, often what we do is we cut it loose. In that moment where we feel this choice, do I demonstrate love right now? We're cutting that loose. Because I really just want to give this person a piece of my mind. That is not the way to abundance. That is not the way that brings this blessed life. Instead, the way of the blessed life is the one who allows the character of God to be reflected in their life, even when that's hard. But you see, the Spirit is the one that's doing all of this. Our job is just to not let it get away. And what happens if we live this way? If we bind it around our neck? Verse 4 says, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Do you know people who are full of steadfast love and faithfulness? Generally, people like them. Generally, people enjoy being around them. Those are people that you want to be with. There's other people in our life who that is not true of their lives, and they are really difficult to be with. This kind of individual generally has strong relationships. Their kids generally enjoy being with them. Their family generally looks to them with esteem. But you know what's even greater than that? The person who lives this life finds favor and high esteem in the sight of God. Wow, what a wonderful idea of abundance. That if we are living in this way and we are allowing the Spirit to show himself off through our lives, we can face life, we can face uncertainties, and at the end of the day, we can say, you know what, my greatest desire is that I would find favor in the sight of my God. If that's truly the desire of our heart, that is going to direct the decisions we make in life and the way that we live. If we want to experience this life of abundance, It happens when we reflect God's character. Now here we have the next direction. Direction number three, rely on God wholeheartedly. Verses 5 and the first half of verse 6 say this, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. So do you see what the Father is pleading with the Son here? My Son, this is what I want to be true of you. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him. You know, that's all fine and good. I think most of us would say we want to do that. We want to trust God. We want to lean on him. We want to acknowledge him. You know, the most annoying thing about this verse is that little three-letter word, all. All. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. You see, the Father is pleading with the Son. I don't want you to be someone who is divided in your allegiance. That is not the path towards abundance. If we're divided in our hearts and we kind of have this, yeah, I want to please the Lord, but I also want to be free to do my own stuff, that is not the path towards the abundant life that God has for us. Instead, the required direction is to rely on God wholeheartedly. That word lean, you know, that makes me think of a crutch. Sometimes people kind of talk about Christianity in a really negative way, and they're like, ah, Christianity is just a crutch for weak people. Right? Have you ever heard of something like that? Like, if you need Christianity, it just means you're not strong enough to stand up on your own. And when was the last time that somebody broke a leg, and we're like, man, that crutch, it's pretty weak. We don't look at crutches as bad things, do we? When someone needs a crutch is a great thing. I hope that we are not foolish enough to say, I don't need God as a crutch in my life. See what God is saying here? He says, no, the one who walks with wisdom is one who understands. You don't need a crutch, you need a stretcher. You're not just hobbling through life, you are hopeless in life. You're not just a little bit messed up, you are completely dead without me. The one who's not willing to go there, the one who's not willing to have that level of humility, they're never going to experience the abundance that God has for them. God's required direction is that we don't rely half on him and half on ourselves, but we come to him and we say, God, without you, I am nothing. Without you, I can do nothing. You are not only my crutch, you are the everything that I need to make it through my day. So what does it mean to trust in him with all of your heart? Well, let me give you some examples. It's easy to trust the Lord when his thinking aligns with mine. You know, when God and I come to the same conclusions, it's pretty easy to rely on him. But what happens when God's way of thinking is different than mine? That moment reveals if I am wholehearted in my pursuit of him. The wholehearted one says, well, here's what I'm thinking, here's what God's thinking. 100% of the time, I am wrong and I need to agree with him. The one who's divided says, maybe we can find a happy medium to this whole thing. You know, it's easy to lean on the Lord and his understanding makes sense to me. It's easy to lean on the Lord when, you know, that seems like a pretty good direction in life. I think I'll do that. But what about those times when God is asking us to do something that seems so illogical? He's asking us to do something that makes no sense by the standards of this world. That moment right there reveals if we are wholehearted in our reliance on him. The one who's wholehearted says, I don't have to fully understand this. It doesn't mean we don't think. It doesn't mean we just check our brains and just do whatever. But it does mean we allow our thinking to be molded by his. We don't try to get God to come around to our perspective. We are always willing to change our perspective and to follow his. You see, this is how we know, am I wholehearted in my pursuit of him? When me and God don't agree, who wins? The wholehearted person, God wins every time. The Bible always is allowed to change my thinking. God is always allowed to turn my life around. That's the heart of the wholehearted individual. The one who's divided in their allegiance, it's kind of a 50-50. Sometimes God wins and sometimes God loses. That is not the direction that leads to the experience of abundance throughout life. And so what is the outcome for the one who wholeheartedly relies on the Lord? He shall direct your paths. Right? This is probably, some of you in this room, this is probably your favorite verse. These are some of the most famous verses in the Bible, and many of us have memorized these when we were little boys and girls. We love the truth of this verse. But you know what's interesting about the way that God directs your paths? He doesn't always show you what's on the other side. Think about all the patriarchs that we studied last year in Hebrews chapter 11. They had no idea where their path was going, but they knew the path they were supposed to take. You see, just because God directs our paths does not mean that path is clear and we know the next step to take. And it also doesn't mean that path's going to be easy. Just because God is directing our path doesn't mean it's going to be all rainbows and butterflies. There's going to be a lot of hardships and chaos and turmoil and confusion and heartache and hurt on this path. But what we do know to be true is that the one who lives in this wholehearted reliance on God, they are going down a path that is directed every step of the way by their loving, all-knowing, all-good Father. That God is moving that path and He is taking you exactly where He wants you to go because He knows where you need to go. It's not always the path we would choose for ourselves, but it's always the path that is best. So if you think about a GPS system, sometimes it takes you down a road you don't want to go down. But when it comes back around, you end up right where you need to be. That's how God directs. God's direction doesn't always make sense to us, but it is always good. It is always right. And it's always done with perfect wisdom. That is an abundant life. That I'm not left here on earth to figure out what I'm supposed to do in all situations. Instead, I am to rely on God and trust that wherever He takes me, every step of the way, He's doing the work that He needs to do. Let's look at the last direction. Direction 4. If I want to experience God's abundance, I have to release my pride and embrace submission. Well, some of you are around in 1969, and maybe you remember Frank Sinatra's famous hit song, I Did It My Way, right? And maybe hearing that, some of you, you're ready to burst it out. Let me read you the last verse of this famous song. For what is man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not. To say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and I did it my way. That's a really catchy song. But that's a really stupid way to live life. I'm not using that word lightly. I know it's a word sometimes parents don't want their kids to use, but I think that's the best word to describe this way of thinking. But this is the life that's applauded by the world. You don't bow for anybody. You tell them what they need to hear. If you can't do it yourself, then who are you? You're not strong enough. At the end of the day, you might get beat up, but as long as you did it your way, that's all that matters. I think that is one of the best descriptions of the life of a fool of anything I've ever read. You see, direction 4 requires us that we release our pride and that we embrace submission. Because this verse tells us, do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. You may be the wisest person in your own eyes in the world. That doesn't make you smart at all. You can be really wise in your own understanding. In God's eyes, you're a complete fool. But instead, God is calling us to release our prideful, self-centered, self-sufficient way of thinking and embrace this attitude of submission. This idea of fearing the Lord. God, you are God and I am not. I am submitting my life and my thinking and my desires to you. So what's the outcome of one who chooses to live this way? Verse 8, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. This word strength is oftentimes translated drink. The one who chooses to embrace submission is one who gets to drink in this nourishing, refreshing, supplying need. You see, when we live in our own, when I don't depend on anybody except myself, I get very worn out. I get very beat up. I'm never refreshed. I'm always maxed out. But when I choose to live in submission to Him, He says, I will refresh you. I will strengthen you. I will supply everything that you need, and not just with something you don't want to drink. I'm going to make it good. I'm going to make it something that you enjoy and you desire. Do you remember the idea of shalom? I'm going to give you everything that you need. You see, there is no way around it. If I want to be on the path of abundance, I have to embrace the attitude of submission. This is the direction that takes most of us off this path. This is the direction that most of us wrestle with and say, that's just too much. I think I'm going to try to find my own way. If we want the life that God has for us, it only comes when we choose to submit to Him and give Him the desires of our heart. God's GPS always leads to a life of abundance, every time. It will never mislead you. It will never take you away from the abundant life. It always chooses exactly the right path for us as individuals. And even when we come through these roadblocks in life, it navigates us around those with wisdom and grace and truth, exactly what we need. But the question for all of us as individuals is, can we follow the directions that God requires? The fool will never do it. But the wise man and woman will say, if this is the directions that's required, I'm all in. May we be a church that is full of people who are willing to follow God's directions and to experience the abundance that He truly has for us. I hope that you hear this and really believe that this could be true of your life. If you feel worn down and beat up today, God is offering you this very day strength for your bones. He's offering you peace for your journey. Don't hear this and think this is only for somebody else. This is for you. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that You have given us everything that we need. You've not only provided the way of eternal salvation, but Father, You have provided the step-by-step journey of abundance. Father, I pray that You would give us the courage to trust You. Father, I pray that these truths would be etched on our hearts in such a way that we would believe to the core of who we are, that this is what You're offering to us. Father, I pray for all those right now who are facing that roadblock in their life and they don't know what decision to make. Should they follow You with trust or should they figure it out themselves? Father, I pray today that Your Spirit would work in the hearts of us as individuals and that we would be willing to follow You at all costs, that we would wholeheartedly give You everything that we have. We would change our thinking. We would change our desires. We would change our decisions. Because God, You are offering us what is best. Give us the courage to do this. Give us the courage to do this together. Give us the courage to share with others in this body where we need help. Thank You, Father, for Your word. Thank You for Your path. Thank You for directing us every step of the way. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.